Loyal to the Young Turks, I'm your host, Cenk Uygur. Come on, you know that. We have an amazing show for you guys today. Come on, you know that. Come on, Obama. That's from the old school. All right, now we've got, come on, Trump. Yes, we do have massive stories related to the protests over the weekend in football. How Donald Trump accidentally started that fire, which was awesome. How wonderfully counterproductive it was. And then among the many fantastic stories I have for you is NASCAR got into this whole national anthem thing, and it took a surprising turn. If you turn around the corner, if you will, that's a really bad pun. But the thing that I don't want you to miss is, how did standing for the national anthem in the NFL start in the first place? That's an amazing story. All right, in the meanwhile, I want you to guess what year players started saluting the national anthem in the NFL. I'm not gonna give you the answer until the next segment. What year? Was it 1959? Was it 1919? I don't think the NFL was around then. Was it 2009? Was it 1989? You're not gonna know. Of course you are, you'll watch it in the next segment. Or you'll watch it later on YouTube or Facebook. Anyways, I'm keeping it real about how the show works. But I have other amazing stories for you. Oh, and then one other thing. In the next hour, no, you know what, two other things. In the next hour, sure, we'll talk about the so-called free speech rally at Berkeley. Oh, the way that that fizzled was phenomenal. And then somebody saw a t-shirt of the Young Turks at that Nemo event and then started running. They're not coming for us, we're coming for them. Oh, you're gonna love that, that's in the second hour. Okay, the other thing is, I forgot to tell you guys, do I have this right?
You're a bitch.
No, I'm on the wrong bank. I did not want to tell you guys that. Okay. Okay, so. That means we have an announcement. Young Turks, streaming for new show of the year. I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying, okay. Anyway, so there's actually two parts of the streamies. Last night was the premiere awards where we were nominated for two awards, including Murder with Friends on Pop Trigger. That's amazing, they were nominated for nonfiction parts, so that was fantastic. And then News Show of the Year was actually the very last award announced there. They had built up with Best Director, Best Comedy, etc. And they got the News Show, and we won that category, so that was excellent. That was actually not you guys. What? It's almost always you guys voting. In that case, it was actually the streamies itself that voted. But on Tuesday, they have the broadcast awards for the streamies. We just had a jet fly over. Okay, that was supersonic sound, wasn't it? Yeah, that was amazing. What is it, Trump buzzing the studio? It's fascinating. Anyway, on Tuesday, we're up for show of the year. That is you guys, that's you voting. So do hashtag TYT for streamies, four as in F-O-R, you gotta write it out. Hashtag TYT for streamies, you gotta keep voting all the way through Tuesday night, okay? If we win the best show on the internet, this is gonna be on steroids. All right, let's see how it goes, okay? We will have that and word of whether we won Tuesday night on social media, and then Wednesday during the show, of course, we'll let you know how it turned out. Some great tweets already when I announced we won the News Show of the Year. Right wing reactions, basically Alex Jones pounding the desk with papers, like, oh no, and then running. Anyways, all right, let's do the show. Okay. Sad story about John McCain. You all know he's got cancer now. He went on 60 Minutes, talked to Leslie Stahl, and he let us in on how bad it is, and it turns out it's pretty bad. Let's show you.
That it's very serious. That the prognosis is very, very serious. Some say 3%, some say 14%. You know, it's a very poor prognosis. So I just said, I understand. Now we're going to do what we can, get the best doctors we can find, and do the best we can. And at the same time, celebrate with gratitude a life well lived.
Now, throughout the years, I've had a lot of disagreements with John McCain. I've also from time to time, had some agreements with him, not only recently on his vote on healthcare, but he was actually the very last Republican I ever voted for. In the 2000 primaries, I voted for John McCain over George W. Bush. And then in the general election, I voted for Al Gore, first Democrat I ever voted for, because I watched the debates and I thought one guy is way, way smarter than the other guy and is an important decision. But in the primaries, I had voted for McCain. And since then, there's, you know, his stance on war, I just think is deplorable. But having said that, you watch that video, man. If you're human, it's hard not to have great sympathy, empathy for him, his family, and boy, if this is indeed his last tour duty, he is taking it like a champ, and I couldn't imagine handling it any better. That's amazing. So now, of course, we're still in the field of politics, so he is going to get asked about Donald Trump. Let's watch that.
Did he ever apologize for saying you're not a hero?
No. I also understand that we're very different people, different upbringing, different life experiences.
What do you mean by that, and what does it make you think about?
He is in the business of making money, and he has been successful, both on television as well as Miss America and others. I was raised in a military family. I was raised in the concept and belief that duty, honor, country is the lodestar for the behavior that we have to exhibit every single day.
Those were nice shots of Trump. I was raised to believe in duty, honor, etc., country. And he, you know, he's a businessman that did the Miss USA pageant or something. Look, he didn't put it as maybe spitefully as I might have, or with more salt in the wounds, but that was shots fired, and it was nicely done. They also asked him about, hey, you know, what do you make of his statements in regards to all these different political matters at hand today? And he said, quote, he changes his statements almost on a daily basis, so for me to spend my time trying to analyze what he says, I don't know. In other words, he is, as we have told you over and over, and now there's a Republican senator saying it, a pathological liar. Now, he didn't say that exact quote, but I just read you his quote, and you can see that's exactly the direction that he's going in. Changes his statements on a daily basis. He has no principles. He has no actual ideology, Trump. All he has is political expedience and what's good for Donald Trump. And so now, freed from the donors, freed from the daily pressure of politics, John McCain speaking truth to power there, in a sense. By the way, he was also very, very gracious, saying, look, he's the president of the United States, and I believe in our democracy, and the American people chose him. So that's that. And so I don't begrudge that. That's how this system works. It's just that, you know, he just personally doesn't believe him. And thinks that, you know, he's structured a little differently than John McCain, but he is the president, and of course that's true. Now, this would be a normal way for almost anybody on the political spectrum to handle John McCain in that interview, and what's obviously a very sad moment here, as he believes that he has very little chance of recovery. But that's not how some Republicans are going to handle it. So. We're told from time to time that progressives are uncivil. All right, so let's go to an actual example of lack of civility. That's Louie Gohmert. He's going to go on Fox and Friends and say something wild and outrageous.
You know, nothing inhibits recovery from cancer like stress. I think the Arizona could help him and us recall him, let him, you know, fight successfully this terrible cancer, and let's get somebody in here. We'll keep the word he gave last year.
Wait, did you say he should resign or step down and take care of his health? Or did you say that Arizona should recall him, like remove him from office? Did I hear that right? Even Steve Doocy shared my surprise at that. Here, watch.
Say that again. What are you suggesting? He be recalled?
I think it would be very helpful
because
to him
this.
And the country. He's got cancer. It's a tough battle. But stress is a real inhibitor toward getting over cancer. So let him go back, deal with the cancer. Let Arizona recall him so that we can get somebody that will keep his word from last year.
Wow. Wow. What an unbelievable prick. He's saying the very last thing that should happen to John McCain is to have the voters of Arizona disgrace him by recalling him from office. And it's not because, stress and and I want him to get better. No, he said it would help him and us. And he said put someone in office who would keep his promise from last year. Meaning, no, I want him recalled because he voted the wrong way on healthcare. He's having healthcare issues. I obviously, as you can tell here, don't care about that at all. And I also don't care about your healthcare. And I hope that, as Louie Gohmert voted in the House to strip away healthcare from tens of millions of Americans, approximately 23 million Americans or so. And saying, hey, and if John McCain's not going to take away other people's health care, Arizona should recall him. Wow, he did everything but say good riddance. Okay, well, now you know where Louie Gohmert and some faction of the right-wing Republican Party stands. Okay, now we go to Jared Kushner. Okay. Now, I was told during the last presidential election that using a private email account is horrific offense for anyone associated with the government. I mean, it's such a bad offense that you should be locked up. I believe I heard chants to that effect regarding Hillary Clinton, which is why this story seems a little surprising. Politico reporting that presidential son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner has corresponded with other administration officials about White House matters through a private email account set up during the transition last December, part of a larger pattern of Trump aides using personal email accounts for government business. What? Oh, well, okay, hey man, looks, this wasn't my chant, it was your chant, but let's go for it. Lock him up, lock him up. Because I didn't think it was a federal offense. Trump people told us it was a federal offense. They chanted it, right? Okay, let's give you more details. Now, if this was an account that he's had with AOL for quite some time, his mom emailed him on there and he said, yeah, I'll be over for Thanksgiving or whatever. Okay, maybe that's a different situation, but it sounded like he was doing official government business. And what was interesting to me is that it was not an old account. Let's give you more details. See, we go to Politico. Kushner uses his private account alongside his official White House email account, sometimes trading emails with senior White House officials, outside advisors, and others about media coverage, event planning, and other subjects, according to four people familiar with the correspondence. Politico has seen and verified about 24 emails. So definitely doing government business, no question about that. Let's keep going. Kushner and his wife, Ivanka Trump, set up their private family domain late last year before moving to Washington from New York, according to people with knowledge of events as well as publicly available internet registration records. At the time, Kushner, who served as senior campaign advisor, was familiar with the correspondence, expected to be named to a White House role, while Ivanka Trump was publicly saying she didn't plan to work in her father's administration. Now, of course, she later did take a role in the administration. So, wait, now that's different. So they set up these accounts knowing they were going to the White House. It was after the election and before they went into the White House. It looks like it was set up for the purpose of having communications that they wouldn't have to report. Because of our laws in America, if you're doing official government business, all that is recorded and kept for history. Now, those are not shared unless they're leaked, but they're not supposed to be. And your private emails can get leaked too. But legally, they are not to be shared publicly right now at all. But they must be kept for our records, for government records. You work for us, you're part of the government. So they set up a new email account, kind of like Hillary Clinton set up a private email server specifically to have private emails that could not be traced by the government. Now, one was a server, this one is an email account. There is a slight difference there. Now, of course, there is an important issue of the classified documents. So let's go to his defense on this. Politico says there is no indication that Kushner has shared any sensitive or classified material on his private account, or that he relies on his private email account more than his official White House account to conduct government business. So look, in reality, huge distinction, and we don't know that there wasn't any classified information on there. And remember, that's what started the Hillary Clinton investigation. They didn't know that she had shared classified information either. They started the investigation and then found out that that might have happened. Now, none of the things that she did apparently was bad enough that she purposely shared classified information in a way that it could get out. So that's why she was not charged. So whether it's classified or not is relevant, but an investigation was started on her to find out, an argument could be made to start an investigation on Kushner to find out if he has shared classified information, because we now know for a fact, because Politico has actually seen the emails, that he is sharing and having conversations about official government work on his private email account. Again, it wasn't us who said that that was a massive crime. It was the Trump team that said it was a massive crime. Okay, Lowell, who is his attorney, said Kushner has adhered to government record keeping requirements by forwarding all the emails to his account, though Politico could not verify that. Hey, listen, you say that he's putting those emails into his government account too. First of all, I don't believe that for a second. There's no way that you bothered to set up a private email account so you could have untraceable emails and then reported them anyway and just transferred them over to your government account so that they could be traced. But hey, listen, that's okay. I don't need to decide that. The FBI can decide that. They should have an equal and opposite investigation just like they did of Hillary Clinton. And just like the Trump team, we could turn around and say, well, even before the decision comes in by the FBI, in their case, it was even after the decision came in by the FBI to not prosecute, saying it was not illegal, they chanted anyway. So lock him up, lock him up. Okay, wait, one last thing. But I mean, was it like, hey, guys, what are we gonna have at lunch? Or maybe it was with his, you know, interns, not at all important. Did it involve senior White House officials? Let's find out. Aides who have exchanged emails with Kushner on his private account since President Donald Trump took office in January include former Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, former Chief Strategist Steve Bannon, National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn, a spokesman and spokesman Josh Raffel, according to emails described to or shown to Politico. In some cases, those White House officials have emailed Kushner's account first, said people familiar with the messages. At times, Bannon and Priebus have also used private email accounts to correspond with Kushner and others. Oh, great. So that's Kushner, Trump, Bannon, Priebus. So let me change the chant real quick. Lock them up. Lock them up. Hey, listen, man, we didn't ask for you guys to start a chant about locking people up who use private email accounts while in the government. You did. So I guess it equals just as well to you. Hey, maybe another special counsel or the FBI, get to work, investigate these guys to see if there was any classified information or anything else that they did illegally, including violating that Records Act. And then it's, I guess, handcuffs time. All right. My guess is that they're not actually gonna go to prison because two different sets of laws apply. And just real quick aside here, it's a matter of how much of a big deal the two sides make it. And that's why the media sucks so much when they do the 50-50 game, right? So Republicans will take a molehill and make a mountain out of it, and they'll start chanting lock them up and lock her up and all that stuff. And then they'll have hearing after hearing after hearing, and then the press will go, well, I have to cover it 24/7 because the Republicans have made a big deal out of it. Now, I understand that there's a thousand different things that the Trump administration have done, and it's hard to focus on all of them if you're the Democrats, but 9 out of 10 things, they just drop. So, you know, you'll probably, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, or maybe it's like way worse than we thought, and you'll see it again and again. But probably, if history is any judge, the Democrats will completely drop this story, and you won't, you'll hardly ever hear of it again. There'll be no committee hearings, there'll be no investigations, and then the media will drop it. It's an uneven playing field. The Republicans are vicious and will fight you and will make will turn molehills into mountains. Democrats, on the other hand, take mountains and turn them into molehills. So that's the state of affairs as we have it now. Okay, so now, speaking of bad Democratic behavior, this is of a different note and much worse. Okay, Anthony Weiner was a Democratic congressman who lost his seat, had to resign in shame because of reaching out to different women on Twitter and sending sexually explicit messages. Now, he was run out of Congress back in 2011. But then he made a comeback, and he was running for mayor of New York and was actually doing really well in the polls in 2013, until we found out he had done it again. And that time he had called himself Carlos Danger online. And famously corresponded with Sidney Leathers. She turned over a lot of those messages, as a lot of the people that he sexted with. And is there a word for sexual messages on Twitter? Swittered with? Anyway, but he never learns the lesson. He never learns the lesson. And then in 2016, he got busted again. Several different people, including an older woman that I say older because he got in trouble with an underage girl that I'm about to tell you about. And he had sent a picture to the other woman with his young son, who was a baby at the time, in the picture. Ah, don't do that. He was showing off his abs and the baby was next to him. So finally, Huma Abedin, who was top advisor for Hillary Clinton, I almost said fired him, divorced him, and they separated and then parted ways. And of course, it wound up famously affecting the 2016 election, because they had a separate investigation on Anthony Weiner, criminal investigation, because he had sent sexually explicit messages to a 15-year-old, which is what I'm about to tell you, the conclusion of that story now. But because of some of those messages were on Huma Abedin's computer, they had to then reopen the Hillary Clinton investigation, because they found out that there was all these messages, emails on Huma Abedin's computer the FBI had not checked yet. Now, later they checked them and found out there was nothing wrong, but by that time the damage had been done. And that was part of what had happened in 2016 to cause Hillary Clinton to lose. Of course, the other gigantic part was Hillary Clinton. Anyway, so if you don't remember the part about the 15-year-old, let me go to the Daily Mail investigation last year. That gave the details. Anthony Weiner carried on a months-long online sexual relationship with a 15-year-old girl, during which she claims he asked her to dress up in schoolgirl outfits for him on a video messaging application. And much worse, I mean, the details are pretty gory, and we don't need to rehash them because he is guilty, and I'm going to tell you about that in a sec. But at the time, a very important component was, did he know that she was 15? It's one thing if you think you're talking to a 38-year-old online, and it's just online. It's another thing if you know she's a 15-year-old. Well, Weiner was apparently aware that the girl was underage, according to the DailyMail.com. Interviews with the girl and her father, as well as a cache of online messages. So they had the messages, they did see them, they did show them. And eventually, Weiner pled guilty. In fact, let me go to the New York Times now. That explains that Mr. Weiner, who pled guilty in May to one count of transferring obscene materials to a minor and had faced up to 10 years in prison. Now, that's a long time. Of course, his lawyers asked for probation, saying, come on, you know, he's part of the elite. Are you really going to send him to prison? Of course, that was not their technical defense. But in essence, he's a good, upstanding member of the community. He had a disease, he's fighting the disease, etc. In fact, before the sentence was pronounced, the New York Times explains, Mr. Weiner did not so much ask for leniency, but tried to make a case that he had accepted responsibility for his crime and that he was a changed man. Now, of course, he in fact did want leniency, and his lawyers did ask for that, but that was his show of contrition. Oh my God, Your Honor, I've really learned. And he said, quote, I acted not only unlawfully, but immorally. And if I had done the right thing, I would not be standing before you today. So that's pretty clear. Well, so what did the judge say? Well, she said that she agreed with Mr. Weiner's lawyer's contention that he was finally receiving effective treatment for a disease of sexual compulsion, that he was engaging in sex addiction therapy and was, don't get me wrong, he was not engaging in sex addiction again. He was engaging in sex addiction therapy and was making what she called, quote, an enormous contribution to others suffering from that disease. But, quote, the difficulty here is that this is a very strong compulsion. It was so strong, she added, that despite two very public disclosures and the destruction of his career on two occasions, he continued with the activity. That is certainly true. So she finally gave out a sentence. 21 months in prison. So, wow. Okay. So he is actually going to prison. Now, whenever anyone who was a politician or just generally member of the elite, the establishment, etc., actually goes to prison, it is almost shocking because it's just not something that happens very often in America. We definitely have a two-tier justice system. But in this case, Anthony Weiner was definitely out of allies. No Republican or Democrat had any interest in him. No one in power had any interest in him. He was roundly derided by almost everyone in power and his former friends. And I guess once you're out of allies, prison is possible. 21 months, so obviously almost 2 years in prison for Anthony Weiner, which is amazing. And just a final description to this inglorious end of a career. New York Times says that after the hearing ended and Judge Coate had left the bench, Mr. Weiner remained seated between his lawyers, Arlo Devlin Brown and Aaron Manju at the defense table, bent deeply forward in his chair, sobbing, his face in his hands. So look, there's a lot that can be said about this story. And this is the one story that I always point to of me being wrong. When the story first came out, I couldn't believe it. I thought, no way. What was previously thought to be a smart congressman was going to send penis pictures to women online. That's the craziest story I ever heard. And there was 1,000 false stories and allegations made up in the right-wing press earlier, not about him specifically, but overall. And so I said that I don't believe the story at all. Well, it turns out the story was true. I was wrong. And then he did it again and again and again. So, you know, and in the past I've made fun of sexual addiction because, I mean, we're guys, aren't we all sexually addicted? And that's a common cliched thing to say. But you find out with Anthony Weiner, no, it might be a real thing because he did this despite the fact that he thought it could hurt everyone around him, his family, his loved ones, and absolutely destroy his career, and he still couldn't help himself. So that's no excuse, and certainly the court system didn't find it to be an excuse, and that's why he's going to prison. But it is interesting that it is a compulsion that drives some to absolute ruin, and that is apparently what has happened with Anthony Weiner. All right, when we come back, Trump versus the NFL. Fascinating developments, and especially the part about how they started standing for the national anthem in the NFL in the first place. You don't want to miss that story. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, time for Trump and the NFL. Sorry, don't have time for tweets. We'll get to those later. Let's do it. So on Friday night, Donald Trump was giving a speech in Alabama. No one knows why. He just likes to go to rallies and have people cheer him. And he decided that he was going to take a swipe at NFL players. And boy, did that start a giant controversy, which wound up backfiring on Donald Trump in a wonderful way. I'm going to explain all the details for you guys. But first, let's hear out Trump.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
Yeah.
So a whole bunch of things already from that small clip. First of all, my favorite thing is when he walks around the ring like he's a wrestler, like, and also, right, okay. And I know that his fans get into that too. I'm just amused at what a goofball he is. All right, second of all, then people say, oh, you know, he called him son of a bitch. I don't care about that at all. Okay, he used vulgar language. I use vulgar language. I don't care. But I do know that it made other people defend those NFL players taking a knee, like Colin Kaepernick and the others, as I'm going to show you. So it was poor strategy if it was intended to gain some degree of sympathy. And by the way, in all honesty and seriousness, the reason he was in Alabama was to rally for Luther Strange, who is running in a Republican primary that's Trump's candidate. He's running against Steve Bannon's candidate, Roy Moore, and Strange is losing. So he'd gone down to rally his base. But when you're rallying folks, you're supposed to do things that excites people and gets them to vote for you by igniting this controversy. Well, look, other controversies have served him in the past, but it's possible that you're being counterproductive. But he doesn't think those things through. But he has, in essence, there begun to attack the NFL and start an issue where it becomes First Amendment. It wasn't a First Amendment issue because the NFL is private and they can do whatever they want to their players. But when you have the government, i.e. the president of the United States, telling people, hey, you know what, you should take action and you should fire those guys, then it, you know, it's the beginning of a First Amendment issue where the government is pressuring people to get fired if they say the wrong things. Okay, but he's got more.
You know, when the NFL ratings are down massively, the NFL ratings are down massively. Now, the number one reason happens to be that they like watching what's happening on, you know, with yours truly. They like what's happening.
It's unbearable, man. If he was making a serious political point, he then ruins it by going, the ratings are down, because the only thing that matters is ratings. It's because everybody's watching me. Yeah, that's because you're a train wreck, dude. Just like this story. All right, keep it going.
This, because, you know, today, if you hit too hard, right? They hit too hard, 15 yards, throw him out of the game. They had that last week. I watched for a couple of minutes, and two guys just really beautiful tackle. Boom, 15 yards. The referee gets on television. His wife is sitting at home. She's so proud of him. They're ruining the game, right? They're ruining the game.
Yeah, in a recent study, they studied the brains of deceased NFL players. 110 out of 111 had significant brain damage. They're ruining the game. We were having fun with these gladiators who, you know, smash into each other. And if they, you know, hurt themselves even more, that was fun. And their wife was proud of them. They're ruining the game. But look, more importantly, he's now gone from, I don't like Colin Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem, to attacking the entire NFL. Bad idea, genes. Okay, now you're going to get the whole NFL against you. And if you were trying to turn the tables on him, as usual, you've turned the tables on yourself. All right, one more.
You know what's hurting the game more than that? When people like yourselves turn on television and you see those people taking the knee when they're playing our great national anthem. The only thing you could do better is if you see it, even if it's one player, leave the stadium. I guarantee things will stop. Things will stop. Just pick up and leave. Pick up and leave.
A lot of the NFL owners are billionaires. They pretty much banned Kaepernick from the league. They don't say it outright, but none of them will sign him, even though he's clearly one of the top 96 quarterbacks in the world. Of course, one of them should sign him. They have terrible quarterbacks throughout the league, and they won't do it. But what did Trump just do? He took those billionaires, a lot of them who had not only publicly said they voted for him, but had given him millions of dollars, and just told you to leave their businesses, to hurt their businesses. You're such an idiot. You took natural allies and turned them into enemies. That's all he ever does day in, day out. And by the way, he keeps telling people, you know, that they should take action if he doesn't agree with their political point of view. He stands, he is the government. He's the president of the United States. You know, he, when asked who's his favorite Supreme Court justice, after he first said Judge Judy, he didn't, but almost. only person that he would think about putting Judge Napolitano from Fox News on the bench. Anyway, when pressed later, he said, oh, Antonin Scalia. Antonin Scalia is my favorite justice. Well, let's go to a quote from Antonin Scalia. He's obviously deceased now. But this is what he had said about this issue. He said, if I were king, I would not allow people to go around burning the American flag. However, we have a First Amendment which says that the right of free speech shall not be abridged, and it is addressed in particular speech critical of the government. That was the main kind of speech that tyrants would seek to suppress. So here we go again, a tyrant trying to suppress speech that he does not like. Now, that was not well enough, so he decided that he's going to tweet on the issue. Here comes Trump more. He says, if a player wants the privilege of making millions of dollars in the NFL or other leagues, he or she should not be allowed to disrespect our great American flag or country and should stand for the national anthem. If not, you're fired. Find something else to do. Again, making it a First Amendment issue when it previously was not. Before, it was about freedom of expression as a general principle. Now it's getting to be the government intimidating people into taking action against people because they did not like their political speech. That is exactly why we have the First Amendment, so that the government cannot do that, so that tyrants cannot do that. Even the most conservative people in the country agree with that. Now Donald Trump continues, courageous patriots have fought and died for our great American flag. We must honor and respect it. Make America great again. He's just not letting it go. Now this is now finally Sunday morning. So he started it Friday night. There's a lot of heat around it. He of course doubles down because that's all he ever knows what to do, right? And then he continues, sports fans should never condone players that do not stand proud for their national anthem or their country. NFL should change policy. Again, trying to dictate terms to them. So what happens on Sunday after Trump makes all those comments? Well, everybody starts sitting. Of course. So we have players from all over. Let's start taking a look at the pictures here. Immediately starts in the Jacksonville Jaguars Baltimore Ravens game. Now let's pause here for a second, because that was the first game played. It was actually in London that it was being played, but it was the first in the schedule. And that in the owner is Shahid Khan in the middle. And that is and the owner of the team who gave a ton of money to Donald Trump, but now is standing with his team and locking arms in protest of Donald Trump and of the national anthem. They're locking arms during the national anthem. He turned the owners that had given him millions of dollars against him. I told you, he is so stupid. All right, let's keep going. All right, then that's the Ravens on the opposite side also taking a knee. This thing's on fire. That's the Jaguars locking arms, but also the Houston Texans, the New England Patriots. We got more on Tom Brady later in the show. He was part of that as well. Now that's the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles also locking arms with his players. He's now turning almost all the owners against them. The Giants on the opposite side playing the Eagles also locking arms. The Chiefs not only locking arms, but raising fists, some of them. And by the way, Travis Kelce, the most prominent white player, now Brady as well, of course, but Kelce took a knee for the Chiefs. That's the Los Angeles Chargers taking a knee. The Lions both locking arms and taking a knee, so it is part of the same movement. The Falcons doing likewise in the same game. Now Rico Lavelle in that game sings the national anthem, takes a knee, and puts the fist up. So now it's spread to not just the players, but to people singing the anthem. He's not alone, more on that later. The Browns, likewise. Even the guys that are standing, locking arms oftentimes with the guys who are kneeling. Giants, Bills, Broncos, Saints sitting on the bench. That's another form of protest. Panthers, Buccaneers, those are DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans, the two best players for the Buccaneers doing it. More owners, the Packers doing it. Aaron Rodgers is in there, the Bengals doing it. The Redskins, even Daniel Snyder locked arms. Also another huge donor to Donald Trump. Oakland Raiders, Marshawn Lynch started sitting on the bench. A lot of the Raiders sitting on the bench there. Then for the Seahawks Titans game, neither side shows up. Neither Seahawks or the Titans show up for the national anthem. They're both in. Then the guy singing the national anthem, the woman and the guy playing the guitar, they both take a knee while singing the national anthem. So everybody's doing it in that game. More from the Bears. And the Steelers are the ones who started staying in the locker room. I have more on that story later in the show. They come out only after the anthem is done. The Jets. And by the way, Ray Lewis, who is a Hall of Famer for the Baltimore Ravens in that first game with the Ravens and the Jaguars, also took a knee. And the reason why that's an interesting story, and there he is, he's of course retired now, is because Ray Lewis was a supporter of, or at least had gone to see Donald Trump. Let me read you two of the Jaguars, two of the people from that game making the statement. Julius Thomas, tight end for the, that used to be for the Jaguars, now with the Dolphins, had said in a tweet, quote, "This isn't the first time in this country where men and women with oppressive values tried to intimidate men and women with great courage to accept inequality. I will take a knee with my teammates until I see liberty and justice for all." So great job by Thomas going further and explaining his stance. Then HuffPost explains future NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis, who visited then President-elect Trump in New York in December, also kneeled. In the past though, Lewis has spoken against Kaepernick's protests. Now the reason I tell you that part is because look at this, another potential ally who had said Kaepernick was wrong, now swayed by Trump so much that he goes and joins Kaepernick and takes a knee along with his former teammates on the Ravens. So it goes on and on. Now we go to the Seahawks. The Steelers were the first to not show up for the national anthem. So, and they put out a statement that they will not be doing that. Now one of their players did come out, he's a former Army Ranger, and salute the national anthem. Everybody else stayed in the locker room. Then Seattle also stayed in the locker room and in a later game and put out a statement. The Seahawks players announced before the game at LP Field in Nashville, Tennessee, that they would not be participating in the national anthem. And they clarified, quote, "to protest the injustice that has plagued people of color in this country." So they wanted to make it clear, this is not just for unity with fellow teammates, but it is to actually protest injustice and racial injustice as well. Now I want to go to statements from higher ups. So we go to the CEO of the Green Bay Packers, Mark Murphy. He says, "It's unfortunate that the president decided to use his immense platform to make divisive and offensive statements about our players and the NFL. We believe strongly that players are leaders in our communities and positive influences. They have achieved their positions through tremendous work and dedication and should be celebrated for their success and positive impact." And he went on to say also, "We believe that it is important to support any of our players who choose to peacefully express themselves with the hope for good. As Americans, we are fortunate to be able to speak openly and freely." So nice job, Donald Trump. There goes CEOs of football teams. And now finally to the owners. Robert Kraft, a good ally of Donald Trump, one who gave him a Super Bowl ring recently, gave him, I think, about $1 million for his campaign, went to his inauguration. Even Kraft turns. Not only did he lock arms with his players, he said, quote, "I am deeply disappointed by the tone of the comments made by the president on Friday. I am proud to associate with so many players who make such tremendous contributions in positively impacting our communities. Our players are intelligent, thoughtful, and care deeply about our community, and I support their right to peacefully effect social change and raise awareness in a manner that they feel is most important." Thank you, Donald Trump. You gave Colin Kaepernick and all of us who believed in him and the stand that he was taking so much more allies, so many more allies, so much more momentum. No one could have done for this movement what Donald Trump did by buffoonishly attacking those folks in a way that turned almost everyone against them. Now all of a sudden you've got billionaires, Trump supporters, Trump voters, conservatives, and so many other folks that are now turning around and going, yeah, wait a minute, that is their free speech rights, right? And they should be able to speak freely. And wait, at some point they might even turn around and go, wait, why is Colin Kaepernick not in the league? I mean, now that all of these players, hundreds of players are taking the knee, why on God's green earth is Colin Kaepernick still not in the league? And my guess is that probably gets solved soon, because now Trump has settled the debate. By going on the opposite side, he's got almost the entire country to at least understand and appreciate what Kaepernick is doing. And finally, after seeing all this, do you think Donald Trump is going to reverse position? Of course not. He's going to triple down. So he then tweets after the games, great solidarity for our national anthem and for our country. Standing with locked arms is good. Kneeling is not acceptable. Bad ratings. Oh. First of all, locking their arms is locking their arms against your what you stood for. They're saying they stand with their teammates who are kneeling. He doesn't understand anything. And then what's his last line? Bad ratings. Don't care. Don't care about principles. Got you. By the way, there's bad ratings because everyone's leaving TV. They don't have subscriptions to cable anymore. So it has nothing to do with anything else. Okay, and he says, the issue of kneeling has nothing to do with race. It's about respect for our country, flag and national anthem. NFL must respect this. The only way you can make it worse is to involve the government more and make it an actual freedom of speech issue. And now you have the president, the leader of the government, saying the NFL must respect this. When earlier he also talked about firing people, etc. And Roger Goodell says, divisive comments like these demonstrate an unfortunate lack of respect for the NFL, our great game and all of our players, and a failure to understand the overwhelming force for good our clubs and players represent in our communities. He's of course the NFL commissioner. Finally, he adds, look, he has to take his ideas and go with what he wants. I think it's very disrespectful to our country. I'm sorry, this is actually, now this is Donald Trump responding to Roger Goodell saying, look, he has to take his ideas and go with what he wants. I think it's very disrespectful to our country. I think it's very, very disrespectful to our flag. In other words, meaning, I mean, he shouldn't be fired or anything. He's a person, a white person in a position of power. So I just kind of disagree with him. The other guy should be fired though. Okay, interesting. If you turn the NFL commissioner against you when he was the guy that other folks were blaming for keeping Kaepernick out of the league, man, you have screwed this up royally. Last thing, it is spread to other sports. Now you've got Bruce Maxwell, first player in the Major League Baseball to take a knee during the national anthem. This just happened. And he put out a statement saying, my hand was over my heart because I love our country. I've had plenty of family members, including my father, that have bled for this country. His father served in the army for a long time, that continue to serve for this country. At the end of the day, this is the best country on the planet. My hand over my heart symbolizes the fact that I am and I will forever be an American citizen, and I'm more than grateful to be here. But my kneeling is what is getting the attention because I'm kneeling for the people that don't have a voice. And another Oakland A's teammate just said online that he'll be joining Maxwell in the next game in taking a knee. That teammate happens to be white. So Donald Trump, we could not thank you enough. You have spread this protest to almost all the players, now to different sports, and to even billionaire owners of these teams. Kaepernick could not have done it better. We could not have done it better. So thank you for being so incompetent, such a buffoon, and not understanding our country, what it stands for, and the flag, because it rallied the rest of us to fight for the true spirit of that flag, the true spirit of this country, which is to always, as the Constitution says, strive for a more perfect union, to hold our government accountable. And if there is racial injustice or injustice through police or anything else, we all fight to make it better. That's why Kaepernick took a knee in the first place, and that's why we all fight for that principle. Thank you for giving us all of these allies. Couldn't appreciate it more. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, I've got a ton of stuff for you guys. Breaking news, Susan Collins has come out against the Graham Cassidy bill. It appears that it is dead. So Rand Paul and John McCain were already against it. And Ted Cruz started to play politics. It doesn't matter what Ted Cruz thought. He's a slime ball. He probably would have voted for it in the end anyway. He's just trying to jockey for position. But Susan Collins, now that the CBO has scored the bill, has come out definitively saying she will not vote for it because millions of Americans will lose their health insurance because of the bill. So it appears one more time they put that zombie down. So thank God for that. Obviously, if things change, we'll keep you guys up to date, but that just happened. Whew. Okay, thanks God for that. Let me read some quick tweets for you guys. Abdullah Hussein writes in on YouTube Super Chat. And if you're on YouTube and you use Super Chat, we're more likely to read your comments and you help the show. Fell in love with TYT in 2007 and still going strong, he says. Thank you. Julian Mahoney then on Twitter says, I feel like the only redeeming factor for 2017 would be if the Young Turks won the Streamy for the best show online. Thank you. Let's go for it. We just won best news show last night, but let's win for best show overall on the internet. We're still up for that award and you guys do the voting. So any tweet with hashtag TYT for Streamies, that's F-O-R and then of course S-T-R-E-A-M-Y-S, okay? So thank you, Julia. Dances With says, telling vets you prefer those who aren't captured, why not just spit on them? Disrespect the vet, but not the flag? That's a great question. And the Mad Libs has fired. If you didn't realize, football players were now also investigating Trump's corruption and collusion with Russia. That's funny. And finally, Dan Steele with a super random tweet that I enjoyed. Cenk, if you were an animal, which kind would you be? You always struck me as a Ugerosaurus Rex, but with massive triceps. Indeed. All right, God bless. Let's go do the Steelers. Okay. All right. Huge protest over the weekend about the national anthem. Donald Trump said that anyone who took a knee should be fired. Well, the Steelers decided they were going to act in unison and not come out for the national anthem at all. Mike Tomlin, their coach, put out a statement ahead of time. He says, we're football players, we're football coaches, we're not participating in the anthem today, not to be disrespectful to the anthem, but to remove ourselves from the circumstance. People shouldn't have to choose. If a guy wants to go about his normal business and participate in the anthem, he shouldn't have to be forced to choose sides. If a guy feels the need to do something, he shouldn't be separated from his teammate who chooses not to, so we're not participating today. So they were the first team to not go out for the anthem at all, which makes me incredibly proud. Because I'm a Steelers fan and the Steelers have a history of being the most progressive organization in not just football, but in all of sports. Their owner won them in a poker game. I'm not kidding, he won enough money. This was, of course, a long time ago. And he was always with his own players. And in fact, when the players went on strike, he drove the other owners crazy by going out on the picket line and bringing the players beers, and they drink together on the picket line. That was the owner of the Steelers. The Rooneys have a tremendous history of progressivism, and they're have a rule named the Rooney Rule in the NFL because they demanded that an African American at least be interviewed, not picked, but interviewed for the job of head coach. Anytime you're interviewing for a head coach in the NFL, that's called the Rooney Rule. And now again, they're leading the way here. Look, some saying it's a half measure, it's not good enough. I hear you, but look, let people express themselves in every way that they feel comfortable with. Because at the end of the day, yes, I completely agree with and have always supported Colin Kaepernick's taking a knee and a stand for racial justice and pointing out that is a huge issue in this country and needs to be addressed, and using that platform for it. But I'm also in favor of expressing speech in any way that you think is right. So if we don't want people judging Kaepernick for it, certainly don't judge the Steelers. If you're on either side of this issue, I actually think it took great courage to be the first team to do that. Tennessee and Seattle later in the day also did not come out of the locker room. And of course, these protests spread throughout the NFL. But I want to point out one other guy from the Steelers who actually did come out. He was the only guy to come out, and he's a former Army Ranger. Let's show you what happened here. This is their left tackle, Alejandro Villanueva. And he served in the Army for all those years, and he came out and did the anthem anyway. Now, some folks are getting on him saying, well, he broke ranks with all of his other teammates and he ruined unity. No, but guys, it's also the argument that was used against Kaepernick in some ways. Let people express themselves however they feel comfortable. It's also his freedom of speech, so I don't mind him doing that. The issue has gotten great attention now, thanks to Kaepernick and thanks to Donald Trump, unwittingly so on his part. So bless his heart for doing that, both Kaepernick and Villanueva. I knew I should have tried it a second time. Anyway, and obviously he has unquestioned patriotism, and I think both do. One last thing, and then people said, oh yeah, but did you know that the Steelers were booed when they finally came out? It's true, let's watch. Yeah, that is breaking news indeed. When the opposing team comes out of the locker room, turns out they get booed. Of course, they were playing in Chicago. You know, the Chicago players also did the protest. They weren't in the locker room, but they did the protest on the field. People have no idea what they're talking about in sports. All right, God bless the Steelers, progressive champions as always. Okay, well, it's in both senses of the word. They're champions and progressives. All right, let's move forward. Now, huge story about the NFL and people not standing for the anthem. Donald Trump's very angry. He thinks people should be fired. He started a firestorm about that on Friday night that has raged throughout the weekend. Now, would you like to know the real story of how we wound up having people stand for the national anthem in the NFL in the first place? Now, this story does not go back a very long time in history. It's not like the players were standing for the national anthem throughout. Did you know that? It's not like, oh, the NFL, that's always what happens. The players come out, we do the national anthem, they stand, and that is an American tradition. No, it started very recently. Let me go to Law News here that explains this story. Before 2009, football players standing for the national anthem wasn't even a thing. The team stayed in the locker room until after, and the home of the brave, of course, until the anthem was over, and then ran onto the field. So what the Steelers did this weekend, and eventually the Seahawks and the Titans, was what every team did pre-2009. So this is a new thing. So all that talk of like, oh, this is tradition in America, and if you respect America, then you, this is when you come out of the locker room, and this is how you stand, and this is how you, where you put your hands. Yeah, I know, America's all about dictating how people should stand and what body motions they should have and where they should be, etc. So it turns out it's all a myth. So why did it start later anyway? This is a really interesting part. Turns out that from 2011 to 2014, the Department of Defense spent $5.4 million in contracts with 14 NFL teams for flag ceremonies. The National Guard got in on the action too and gave $6.7 million to the NFL for the same kind of thing from 2013 to 2015. This is what is otherwise known as paid propaganda. Now, look, they I'm sure had good intentions when they did it. Their intention is, well, we'd like more people to sign up for the National Guard, from the Department of Defense. We need more recruits, it's a volunteer army. So let's pay some for some marketing if you want to take a positive spin on it, propaganda if you want to take a negative spin on it. And make it a new tradition that we all salute the flag and do the national anthem and make sure the players are on the field and everybody's paying heed to our soldiers. And if you remember, of course, when Kaepernick took a knee, it had nothing to do with the military. He said it was because of the racial injustice that the police, unfortunately, were doing throughout the country. But people immediately spun it as, oh, you must hate the veterans, you must hate the military. Well, all this started in the first place because the military apparently was paying for this propaganda. And yes, I do take a negative spin on it, because this is not what we should spend taxpayer dollars for. If you're patriotic, wonderful, but I don't want the Defense Department spending our dollars to try to make other people patriotic so they sign up for wars and serve the Pentagon's purposes. So more details on this. The Senate Oversight Committee said, unfortunately, and they investigated this, they said, unfortunately, contrary to the public statements made by the Department of Defense and the NFL, the majority of the contracts, 72 of the 122 contracts we analyzed, clearly show that the Department of Defense paid for patriotic tributes at professional football, baseball, basketball, hockey, and soccer games. These paid tributes included an on-the-field color guard, enlistment and reenlistment ceremonies, performances of the national anthem, full field flag details, ceremonial first pitches, and puck drops. So look, the national anthem happened in the games before, but like we said, the players were in the locker room at the time. You would of course have a first pitch and you drop the puck anyway, but they wrapped all of it in the flag. It was all an effort to recruit more people to sign up for the military. So this was propaganda from the beginning and had nothing to do with American tradition. In fact, it's not just me saying that. Back in 2015, Republican Senator John McCain called this, quote, paid patriotism. And he went on to say that the charades conducted not out of a sense of patriotism, but rather done for profit in the form of millions in taxpayer dollars going from the Department of Defense to wealthy pro sports franchises. And he came out strongly against it. And that is how all of this began in the first place. Know the reality, know the truth, and that right there is what this is actually about. All right, now I got to tell you real quick about two more sports related to this, because it is, this issue is on fire today. Okay, this is not referring to the national anthem, but a related issue. Okay. So you all know the Golden State Warriors won the NBA championship last year, and normally when you win the championship in a sport, you go to the White House and celebrate. Well, now you got Donald Trump in the White House, and some people are a little concerned about that. So Steph Curry, now that their season is beginning, said, I don't know why he feels, referring to Donald Trump, the need to target certain individuals rather than others. I have an idea of why, but it's kind of beneath the leader of a country to go that route. It's not what leaders do. Now, first of all, that enough right is enough right there for Donald Trump to have his very thin skin pierced and have him go ballistic. But Steph Curry went a little bit further. He said, on Friday at the team's annual media day, ahead of the start of training camp, Curry said the Warriors had not decided as a team whether they would visit the White House and that they planned to talk about it at a meeting. But Curry said that if it were up to him, he would not go. So that's what the New York Times was reporting. So now, how do you think Donald Trump's going to react to that? Well, don't worry, he did tweet on it. It doesn't disappoint. He said, going to the White House is considered a great honor for a championship team. Steph Curry is hesitating, therefore, invitation is withdrawn. World's biggest goofball. I don't want you to come anyway. I'm going to take my ball and go home. I know that I keep calling him a third grader. I really feel like I'm beginning to insult third graders. This is what like a really bratty, snobby, annoying third grader does. Steve Kerr is the coach of the championship Warriors, and he said, oh, he was going to break up with us before we could break up with him. Okay. Then Bob Myers, who's the general manager for the Golden State Warriors, said, we encourage our players to speak their minds. And he also went on to say, we're not going to try to divide and separate this country. We're trying to bring everyone together and speak about love and togetherness and equality. So now Donald Trump's got the general managers of basketball teams against them, let alone of football teams, which are now almost all united against them. Then we go back to Steve Kerr for a devastating line. How about the irony, he says, how about the irony of free speech is fine if you're a neo-Nazi chanting hate slogans, but free speech is not allowed to kneel in protest. No matter how many times a football player says, I honor our military, but I'm protesting police brutality and racial inequality, it doesn't matter. Nationalists are saying you're disrespecting our flag. Well, you know what else is disrespectful to our flag? Racism. And one's way worse than the other. Now, Steve Kerr, if you don't follow basketball, is white. He is the coach of the Warriors, and he has gone to the White House many times because he is a champion through and through. He was a champion as a player, he's a champion as a coach, and apparently a champion as a person, saying, look, I fight inequality wherever I see it as well. So the Warriors not going to the White House. And as usual, Trump has made things worse. And now, not only has he turned almost the entire NFL against him, the NBA has begun to turn against him in unison as well. That brings us to King James. LeBron James says about Trump, quote, you bum. Steph Curry already said he ain't going, so therefore ain't no invite. Going to White House was a great honor until you showed up. Damn! Shots fired. One more from LeBron James. He says, that guy continues to try to divide us as people. And like I said on one of my social media platforms a couple of days ago, the thing that kind of frustrated me and pissed me off is a little bit is the fact that he's used sports platform to try to divide us. We have to figure out a way how we can come together and be as great as we can be as a people, because the people run this country, not one individual, and damn sure not him. All right, so congratulations, Donald Trump. Now the NBA hates you too. Okay, now final sport is NASCAR, if you want to call it that. Oh, come on, I kid. Okay. Now, you know what Trump said about the NFL? He said, wouldn't you love to see any of these NFL owners when somebody disrespects our flag to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. He's fired, right? Well, apparently owners in NASCAR were asked about this, and some of them decided to be very conservative, but hold, because there's lots of twists and turns in this story, which makes sense, lots of turns at NASCAR. Yeah. All right, okay. So now we go to the Hill. Former NASCAR champion Richard Petty told the Associated Press that any member of his team would be fired if they chose to protest the national anthem. Petty now owns Richard Petty Motorsports. So he's joining Trump and saying, yes, if you do something I don't agree with politically and you speak your mind, I'll fire you. Now, he does have the right to do that because he's not the government. Trump pressuring people to do that as the government, as the leader of the government, unfortunately, is a First Amendment issue. You know, whether he takes action is a separate story. Trump, Petty can do this. I don't know if it's advisable, but he can. Petty said, quote, anybody that don't stand up for the anthem ought to be out of the country, period. What got them where they're at? The United States. And a couple other things, okay, but and their parents and their community and their friends, and anyway, and their ability to drive a car, apparently. So Petty's on one side, I got it. And by the way, he's got his, you know, right to his opinion too. If I don't want him to fire anybody over it, but if during the anthem he wanted to do jumping jacks and, you know, shout for joy and play, okay, have at it, Hoss. Okay, that's your right. Now we go to another owner, Richard Childress, a former driver who owns Richard Childress Racing. Said any protest from his team members would get you a ride on a Greyhound bus. So second owner threatening to fire people over it. Trump must be happy, and he is. He tweets, so proud of NASCAR and its supporters and fans. They won't put up with disrespecting our country or our flag. They said it loud and clear. Now hold, we're going to get to that in a second. But first, I want to give credit to Dale Earnhardt Jr. Not everybody in NASCAR agrees. Earnhardt put out a great statement. He said, all Americans are granted rights to peaceful protests. And then he quoted JFK saying, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Damn, look at Dale Earnhardt Jr. Okay, that's a wonderful ode, not to being progressive. I don't know what his personal politics are, but to this country. Saying that's the whole point of America, that's why we got a national anthem in the first place, because we have the right and the freedom to do what we want during the national anthem. You missed the whole point of the country. So bless his heart on that. Then NASCAR had to put out a statement that basically splits the baby, and it was artfully done. Here, let me read it to you. They said, sports are a unifying influence in our society, bringing people of differing backgrounds and beliefs together. Our respect for the national anthem has always been a hallmark of our pre-race events. Thanks to the sacrifices of many, we live in a country of unparalleled freedoms and countless liberties, including the right to peacefully express one's opinion. So in other words, national anthem is awesome, respect the flag, respect the troops, but part of respecting it is respecting other people's right to speak out. You know what, I'll take it. They kind of play to both sides, but that's all right, God bless. They emphasize the right to speak out, so that's a good thing. But Jemele Hill, who's of course on ESPN and covers sports, she tweeted, now I think that this might have been before the NASCAR statement, but she wrote, but that Confederate flag is welcome anytime at NASCAR races, hashtag the irony. So we did look around, and it turns out, oh yeah, Confederate flag is often flown at NASCAR races. To be fair, so is the pirate flag. Okay, there's a Trump flag, a Confederate flag, and an American flag all at once. And then now these are pictures from 2015. And that's very relevant, and I'll tell you why. Because in 2015, NASCAR tried to do the right thing. So credit where credit is due, be fair and honest to everybody, okay? So you might not agree with some of the NASCAR owners. But in 2015, NASCAR said, please stop bringing Confederate flags to the races. It's not a good look. You know what their fans did? Screw off. They brought even more Confederate flags. And that effort, that was a well-intentioned effort by NASCAR, failed. But there's a twist to that. They said, if you want to, bring in your Confederate flag and we'll give you an American flag instead. Because I don't know if these folks remember that, but the Confederates did a revolution against America. So they rebelled against America, they committed treason against America. So NASCAR said, why don't we give you our flag instead? I mean, look at the irony of that. To salute a flag that not only did not respect America, our national anthem and our flag, but actually declared war against it. Nothing could be more disrespectful to the American flag than bringing and waving a Confederate flag. They went to war against us. They tried to rip this country apart. Luckily, they lost. And when NASCAR said, we'll give you an American flag instead, a lot of the fans said, no thank you, we'd rather keep the Confederate flag. Again, don't judge all NASCAR fans. They didn't all do that. Some portion of them did that, and there are plenty of pictures and videos from those races in 2015 to prove that. So it is an interesting point by Jameel Hill, point very well taken. But unfortunately, because of Trump, everybody's divided now, and there's no uniform opinion of NASCAR. Unfortunately, they too are divided. Here's an idea. Why don't we rally around, yes, the American flag, but more importantly, what the American flag stands for. It stands for freedom, and that includes the freedom of speech and the freedom to speak out to make America better. And yes, that includes making our government and our policing better. If you say we should not speak out against the police, which are part of our government, to make them better, then you did not understand this country at all, and you don't respect us, our flag, or our anthem. Young Turks.